And last week, we brought you a story about an ice shelf fragment twice the size of Manhattan that broke off Greenland's Petermann Glacier and slipped into the sea. Scientists who study climate change called the event disturbing. Well, this week, another event really shook them up. NASA satellites showed that in July, in just 4 days, the ice that blankets Greenland melted at an unprecedented rate. The percentage of ice melt went from 40% to 97%, almost all of it. Even Greenland's coldest place, Summit Station, showed melting. You should see the pictures. In fact, we'll post them at herenow.org. Jason Box is a climatologist at the Byrd Polar Research Center at Ohio State University. He's just back from Greenland. Jason, I guess another way to underscore what's going on is that you usually wear your cold weather gear, but you had cotton pants on this time.
That's right. I didn't really even break out my down coat or even my ski pants. I just wore what I normally wear in the desert.
Well, and that's unusual because we remind ourselves, Iceland is green, Greenland is ice. And we understand about half the surface of Greenland's ice sheet melts every summer. But records show that there are these dramatic melts maybe every 150 years or so. So given that, you know, there have been dramatic melts before, what's the thinking about this one? What, or even the concern about this one?
Well, the fact is that the summers have been very warm. This is the sixth in a row that extra high pressure has prevailed over the area, and that has brought warm air up from the south. It's kept the clouds from developing. It's also kept snowfall from occurring, which normally would brighten the surface and reflect more sunlight. And then it's really the accumulation of heat in the snowpack that preconditioned this event to happen so abruptly. You just need to bring the temperature of the snowpack up to the melting point, and then you get that abrupt onset of melt. And because there wasn't as much cold content in the snowpack, the melt onset happened earlier, and it also happened at the highest elevations of the ice sheet.
Well, so is this profoundly different from past dramatic melts? And is this, I mean, let's cut right to it. Is this, you know, for those who are studying climate change, is this a sign of that?
Well, it definitely is of concern because this kind of melt episode, which adds more to global sea level, is going to be happening more frequently in the future. That's what the odds are. So it's not hard to predict that we should expect more melt episodes like this one. Part of that is we recognized a few years ago that Greenland's temperatures were lagging behind the northern hemisphere average, but there's actually still more warming to go. I would expect this type of event will become more common in the future.
So Greenland is catching up to the rest of the world, which has been warming, but that, of course, means more melting. And you just answered another one of our questions. This water, we were wondering, where does it go when it melts? I mean, some of it, of course, refreezes, but are you saying it is raising sea levels?
Yeah. In the last decade, Greenland has contributed about 1 centimeter to global sea level rise.
Yeah.
That may not sound like a lot, but Antarctica is also contributing almost that much. Land ice elsewhere in the planet is about that much again. So that means about an inch of sea level contribution in the last decade. The rates of increase suggest that the next decade will be about 2 inches.
Well, and long term, of course, there are concerns, obviously, about the warming of the climate, but just short term, what's it like in Greenland when suddenly, you know, almost all of their ice sheet is melted? They really are green. How are people there reacting?
I spoke with local people after coming out of the field, you know, just asking to confirm what they thought the weather was like. And I was kind of alarmed to hear that they were all fairly animated about how warm it was, how little clouds there had been.
So in other words, you as a climatologist are alarmed, but people in Greenland are thinking, whoa, this is great weather.
There are a lot of Greenlanders that enjoy the warm summer temperatures. Greenlanders are growing more produce in the south. They're even growing strawberries. For Greenlanders, it's not necessarily a bad thing that the ice is retreating. There's an optimism that Greenlanders can get independence from Denmark because of the economic gains they perceive from exploiting minerals and hydrocarbon resources that they're eagerly going after.
But you as a climatologist are concerned?
I'm definitely concerned about changes to the volume of ice on Greenland, because that affects people around the world. And as sea level rises, one of the short-term impacts that we're already feeling is saltwater intrusion into coastal estuary environments like the Chesapeake Bay. At the same time that the sea is rising, that makes a faster relative sea level rise that Norfolk, Virginia is currently struggling with, and it's already something that that community is spending money trying to mitigate. So sea level becomes an expensive thing to try to mitigate. It's part of a larger picture, right? I mean, with the droughts in the Midwest and flooding elsewhere, this is what climate change looks like, and it's like something we got to get used to because it's not going to go away.
Yeah. Jason Box, climatologist at the Byrd Polar Research Center at Ohio State University, who's just recently returned from Greenland, which in 4 days in July saw a huge portion of its ice sheet melt. Jason, thanks so much.
Sure.
And by the way, to see an amazing video of a tourist boat just escaping a tsunami-like wave that was created by part of that glacier breaking off into the sea in Greenland that we reported on earlier. Oh, my God, you should see this, and you can at hereandnow.org. And a quick heads up about a story tomorrow. Now, ESPN is reporting that officials at Penn State say that university came closer than many of us knew to the so-called death penalty, the 4-year ban from college football. Apparently, the NCAA strongly considered that. But as we now know, on Monday, the NCAA levied a $60 million fine, a 4-year ban from bowl games and other penalties for the cover-up of child sex abuse by now-convicted football coach Jerry Sandusky. The AP is reporting that Penn State trustees who met yesterday discussed whether Penn State President Rodney Erickson had the authority to agree to those sanctions without first getting board approval. But they later issued a statement calling Monday's sanctions unfortunate, but better than the death penalty ban from football. Well, tomorrow, we're going to have a conversation with Pulitzer Prize-winning historian and author Taylor Branch, who has long called for reform of the NCAAs. He doesn't think the fines will do anything to restore a proper balance between college academics and big-time college sports.
Penn State is losing big time, yes, but $60 million is revenue from 1 year's sports. They are not even considering telling Penn State you can't be on television, which the NCAA used to do, because now that revenue has skyrocketed to such a degree that it would cripple Penn State.
Our conversation with Taylor Branch tomorrow. Back in a minute. Here and now.